I was 16, I of course had my driver's license, and then you want to drive, right? Every chance you get, want to drive. And so I don't remember where we were. It was probably at church. My family was there, and my parents were there, and they each had their own vehicle, right? And then we were all going home afterwards. And so I asked and got to drive my dad's truck, and he rode with my mom. And so they were in front of me, and I was behind them, and we were all driving home. And it was the time of day that was the dusk, right? Like, should I turn the lights on? Should I not turn the lights on? Back in the day when there weren't automatic lights. And so I didn't, right? I mean, I can see just fine. And so not a big deal. I didn't turn the lights on. But when we got home, my dad told me that I should have turned the lights on. And of course, you know, like, how did I respond as a 16-year-old? I said, oh, you are so correct. I should have done that. I'm so sorry. I said, well, I can see just fine. I didn't need to turn the lights on. He was like, no, you needed to turn them on. It was getting dark. And I said, like, but I could see. And so then he said, look, that's my truck. It was a brown truck, right? It was a 1980 Ford. It was Ranger at that time. That was the full size. But that nice 80s brown, right? He was like, it's a dark colored truck. Other people are also needing to see you. When you drive my truck at that time, turn the lights on. And it was then I realized, right? Like, oh, yes, that is a very good point. your truck, yes, I will turn the lights on next time. But this is how we often get, right, in our own lives. And we take on our own lives and we start living them out and doing things that we want to do and whatever it is that we feel is good. And God has told us, says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. And that we belong to God. And so our verse today is this parable from Mark. It's Mark chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. This is what it says. And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for it for the wine press and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. And when the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and him they killed. And so with many others, some they beat, some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, they will respect my son. But those tenants said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read the scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This parable, of course, speaks to people of Israel, and God had given them this gift of his salvation. And they were to tend to that gift as one tends to a vineyard, and they were to be a blessing for the nations. But as people do, they disobeyed, they went their own way. And God sent to them prophets, preachers, teachers. And all of these they treated poorly. And some they killed, some they just cast out, some they just didn't even listen to. And eventually, God sent his beloved son, Jesus. And Jesus was there to help. And they took Jesus and they killed him. And so here in this, Jesus reminds us, says, what do you think is going to happen to those who have not treated God's property correctly? What do you think is going to happen to those who have continued to mistreat God's servants and to kill his only son? God will have his vengeance. For us, it is a reminder that what we have, this life of faith, this salvation that we have, is not our own, but is a gift from God. That God entrusted this with us. It is a great thing that God says, hey, look, I have a ministry to do here on earth, and I want you to go and do that ministry. That he has called and equipped each one of us to do his work. We get to say, I am doing God's work. One of those phrases that, you know, it gets a little, you know, you don't really take in the severity of that phrase. The God of this universe who put everything together in its place, who upholds all of it. This God, he is the one who has told us and has equipped us to do his work. That is a great and wonderful task. And oftentimes, though, we get to that place of what I want to do and what I think is best, and we start treating that vineyard, that gift of salvation, as if it was something that we were owed or something of our own doing rather than what God has done. Here's a great and wonderful thing about our God. That he is so gracious. He is so loving that even with this parable, right, you have these tenants that are taking care of the vineyard, and this master who, right, is God, doesn't just send one servant and then says, oh, well, that's it, they had their chance, but sends servant after servant after servant, and then eventually his own son. Why? Because he is ever graceful to us. And within our own lives, whenever we have sinned, whenever we realize what we have done that is against God, we know that we can come before him, and he is faithful to forgive us our sins. Here's more good news. That as we lay down our lives for the work of God, that he gives back to us even more. It was Jesus who said, I have come to bring life. And that's not just regular life, right? Not just, well, you got a heartbeat, there you go. But he says, abundant life. Life abundant. That what God wants to give to us is a life that we can live and enjoy. That doesn't mean that everything gets to go our way. That doesn't mean that we're not going to go through those trials and difficult times. But it means that even in those trials, we can have the peace of God. that we can have the joy of God. And so, and it's on our behalf. It is up to us. What are we going to do for God? How are we going to respond to Him? And, you know, He wants to take from us our sins, our faults. He wants to take from us our unforgiveness, our shame, our guilt. But a lot of times we want to keep a little bit for ourselves, right? We say, okay, Jesus, all to you I surrender. And then we go back and we say, well, maybe not this thing, right? While I'm here, maybe not that thing. I got to take that from. I don't really know how to operate without having to deal with that unforgiveness in my heart. And we start taking these things back, and we say, oh, man, I feel like myself again. And then at some point it clicks. Oh, I feel like myself again. And at that point, we have this grace of God, that we can take it back to the cross, and we can fall on our knees and say, Jesus, take this. Take this from me. And Jesus did. He came. He lived with us. He died for us. He bore our shame so that we would not have to. So if you say, well, you know, why do I keep feeling this way? How much have you given it to God? Have you really trusted it to Him? Are you depending upon His grace and His faith in your life? Or are you trying to get rid of that yourself? Are you trying to, you know, mask that shame with other areas of your life? Or are you trying to get to a point that is good enough, that will make you not feel shameful anymore? There's no point of good enough. What we learn throughout this scripture is that time and time again, we fall short. We cannot save ourselves. But thanks be to God that He continues to send us message after message of His grace and of His mercy, and that He sent to us His Son to take all of this worry, fear, confusion, that we can lay it upon Him and have a life that is abundant. Another way this immediately affects us is with these matters going on in the Methodist Church. They've already, someone has put out a proposal to postpone General Conference for 2020 because of the coronavirus. And so, I don't know, we'll see what happens. I mean, you got people traveling from all over the world supposed to come together. And so, yeah, I don't know. Don't know what will happen, and, you know, will it be postponed? How do they postpone it? It's a big event. It's not like you can just say, okay, we'll do it next week. And then if it does get postponed, what does that mean for the churches? And there's a lot of angst that is out there. Can people wait around for however long to meet again and go through these things? I don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. And I wish that I knew that I could give you an answer. I wish that I had an answer for myself. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But what can we do? We can surrender it all to Jesus and say, God, whatever happens, You are still on the throne. You are still Lord of all. As long as we are here to do the work of God, to be those faithful tenants of this salvation that he has given us, then he will continue to establish his church. He will continue to make this a place that spreads his gospel, that is a light for this community, that will be servants of Christ. All that we have, all that we go through in life, God invites us. Bring it to me. I'll take it. I can take it. Even those times that we may not understand, we may be angry, and we may have to, you know, have some angry words with God. God, why did this happen? I don't understand. What's going on? Hey, as long as it doesn't go to blaming God for anything, let's not blame God for anything. He can take your anger, okay? He is there for you. There is nothing that you cannot share with him. There is nothing you cannot talk to him. He already knows it all, and now we get the opportunity to lay it down at his feet. And he has given us that grace to receive it, to deal with it, and to give us back that abundant life. So today, I would remind us all of the gift that God has given us. He has given us this gospel in which we are to tend to, gospel in which we are to spread and tell people the good news, to be a blessing to those who are around us. And if you have treated that gospel as it is your own, or what can I get from it today, rather than how can I serve God through this today, then I ask you to check your motives, to check your heart. If you are here today and you say, you know, there's just these things in my life that I'm going through and I'm struggling with, know that God has given us this wonderful gift, the gospel. And part of that gospel is that we can take it all to him, lay it down at his feet. And when you're tempted to go back to that cross and pick it up, and tell to yourself, say, no, I'm not going to do it, and lay it back down. And to remember to be faithful as a church, and to trust God. God will do his work. And it's our opportunity to join with him in doing that work. Let's pray. God, we thank you for all that you have given, all that you have provided. God, we thank you for entrusting us with this precious gift. God, forgive us for the times that we have come against you, that we have not heeded your word and treated your servants poorly. And God, thank you for the grace to continue to call us, to woo us to yourself. Pray that we would lay all things down at your feet. We pray this in Jesus' name.